Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle to the Ephesians, the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1. Let us sing from Psalter 202, stanzas 1 and 2. In doubt and temptation, I rest, Lord, in thee. My hand is in thy hand, and thou carest for me. My soul with thy counsel, and through life thou wilt guide, and afterward make me in glory abide. 1 and 2 of Psalter 202.
Before our scripture reading, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, eternal God of heaven and of earth, who hast made known also unto us the mystery of thy will, in thy holy word, that thou might gather together in one all things unto thyself, both the things in the heavens and in the earth, then thou wilt in thy time gather all thy church together, for they shall meet thee in the air, that are risen from the dead. They shall be received by thee, and they shall be united unto thee in that place of everlasting glory. And they are here below a church militant. Then they shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and they shall triumph over all of their enemies. And then they shall have the victory over sin, over the world, over vanity, over Satan. And then there are none that shall be able to touch them anymore. For that heel of thee shall no more be bruised. O Lord, that thou may remember them in their present state. For it is a church that the devil seeks to destroy. And then he is leaving them alone when their hearts are walking after this world. But when thou wilt teach their fingers to fight and their hands to war, then Satan also is aroused. Oh, that thou may remember thy church also in our days. May it be in our midst, Lord, that they may dwell among us. May they dwell among our older ones and that have been under thy truth for all their life long. Oh, that a spirit of Pentecost who is able to break the heart of young and old alike, may also work in those whose heart has become as hard as that another millstone, and that is not able to be broken, except that thou wilt speak thy word of power, and that thy voice, that still small voice, may be heard, that the face may be wrapped in the mantle, that people may be given to go bow down over this earth under a burden of sin, and that even the old knees may yet bow before thee, and then even unto the very youngest among us, for there is none too young. Thou didst work even in thy servant in the womb, Lord, that thou may take then the children, that we may be given a show to hear out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thy praise, that thou may remember our youth and our children in the days wherein Satan especially seeks their heart. Oh, that thou may watch over them for good. Look then upon our school and all the instructors and all those that are busy with it day by day. And may thou watch over each and every one. And may thou give thy blessing also in that place upon the instruction for the time, but especially the instruction for eternity. And may it also be that an example is set by the instructors before our children. Oh, that example of true humility, a walking in the way of godliness that is only for the drawing of our children. For then we can speak it with our mouth. But when our life that is so different, then there is no drawing from our life. Oh, that thou may remember then our school, and also the children wilt thou work within them in the days of their childhood and in the days of their youth. Wilt thou remember those who are instructed in other places, in their own homes and also in other places, that thou may look upon them also in all of their needs, and bless thy own word also in our homes. May it be in a way of diligence that we as parents may bring up our children in thy fear, that we may not bring them by the hand to the places where we do not belong. But wilt thou keep and guide and convert us as their parents? Lord, that thou may remember also all those that have special needs known unto thee, the handicapped, those that are afflicted, those that are sick, those that mourn. And wilt thou remember also all those who bring thy word over the length and the breadth of this world? Do look upon our own theological school. Then they meet not for these months. But wilt thou grant unto teachers, but also unto the students, that they may receive from above that spirit of Pentecost also, that instruction that they cannot miss altogether, that thou may bless also our countries wherein we are living. Our rulers, cause us by thy spirit to turn again from all the sin and the iniquity which we have sunken ourselves into, even in a public way. Oh, turn us again, Lord, and leave us not to go our own way, that is, to bring thy judgments upon us, which are so well deserved. But wilt thou cause also our eyes to go open, that we may see what thou art doing upon this earth, and that thou bringest all things unto a head, for thou wilt come even upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead, and that our eyes may go open to see, that thou permittest us to make ourselves ripe for the judgments, and that we may be given to do as thou sayest in thy word, come ye out from among them and be ye separate, that we also may not be destroyed with them. Oh, give that we may live then as a separate people here below, that all that is drawing us in the world, that it may be loathed by us, that we may learn to live more that simple life, that stranger's life, that pilgrim's life, that life of a traveler that is only passing through here below, that is seeking another country. Wilt thou remember all those that are sitting in the seats of judgment, Wilt thou bring thy law into our courts once again? That thou may give, that our judges may judge according to thy holy law, that there may be justice and judgment, that thou would take away all the devices of Satan, and that thou may give unto those that are innocent, that they may be set free, and that those who are guilty, that they may receive their right punishment, and that it may be for their correction also. Lord, that thou may look upon those that are sitting in the prisons, those that are innocent, wilt thou be on their right and on their left in all their trial, and wilt thou use this way also for them. Then there are many that are sitting there in such a way. And then there are also those that are guilty. Wilt thou give a true remorse and a true sorrow? And wilt thou forgive also all of their sin? Wilt thou look upon us also? Lord, thou knowest what we deserve. Then thou passest by our transgressions, thou dealest not with us as we so justly deserve. But we ask of thee that it may not be only a ripening for that eternal judgment, but could it please thee to grant that that long suffering may be for the drawing of our hearts to thyself. That we also may seek that forgiveness that we cannot miss, and that we may be able to stand before thee in that great judgment. Look thou upon thy church. Lord, thou knowest what we will try to bring in this afternoon hour. Thou knowest the needs of thy church. Lord, thou knowest all where they are, that thou may feed thy own sheep and thy lambs, that thou may lead them also a further step by step, and that thou may give us wisdom, that thou may give us a little entrance also into these mysteries, which are too high for us. But Lord, that is the way wherein thou leadest thy people. Then wilt thou cause us to see a little into the blessedness of that which thou hast reserved for thy church. There is a precious portion that thou hast reserved for them, and that is received already by beginnings here below. That we may be given together that holy jealousy, that we also may know of those blessed things, and that we also may receive that assurance that we also belong unto thee. That thou may give in this afternoon hour patience unto the children, for it is a difficult matter for them. Wilt thou give us also all together understanding hearts? Give us that simplicity that is necessary, that we may be able to bring it forth for the understanding of our hearers. But may there also be a place to receive it in this afternoon hour, and that we may know that thou goest before us to lead us also as thy servant, and to show unto us what we must speak, because there is a place that it must be received. Lord, do it then all for the sake of thy great and holy name, and strengthen us for this hour, that all together it may be good for us to be together in thy house, that the thirsty may drink, that the hungry may eat, and that the meek may be satisfied. Do forgive all that is sinful for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 124, stanzas 1 through 4 and 8. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue and with joyful song and doth praise the King divine. 1 through 4 and 8 of Psalter 124.
Thank you.
congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Ephesians chapter 1, and thereof the second part of verse 13 through verse 14. Ephesians 1, verse 13b through 14. These words, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So far, the words of our text. Our theme is the sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise. In two thoughts, first, the meaning of this sealing, and second, the manner of this sealing. The sealing of the Holy Spirit of promise. First, the meaning of that sealing, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And second, the manner of that sealing, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. May the Lord help us in speaking and in listening. There are congregation steps in both the humiliation and the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, children, you learn it in the birth, no, the humble birth of the Lord Jesus, in His sufferings, in His death, His burial, and His descent into hell. And then there are steps also in His exaltation, that is, in His resurrection, in the ascension, in the sitting at the right hand of God, and finally in His coming again to judge the quick and the dead. How different are each one of the steps of the humiliation and the exaltation of Christ. They are very different in the experience of Christ Himself. And yet each one of them that belongs to the salvation of His church, that there cannot be one of those steps that is missing. Every one of them carries with it a great significance. We read in God's Word that the church of God that is made to be a follower of Christ. You say, how is that? Well, the Lord Jesus had said that if they have hated Me, they will hate you. And if they have persecuted Me, that they shall persecute you also. Thus, in that way, in the suffering of Christ, there is a church that follows Him. There is another following. The Lord Jesus had said to His disciples, ye cannot follow Me now. But he said, I will come again. And then I will receive you unto myself. Thus they will be made followers of him when they shall be received by him into glory. There is another certain following of that church when they are made followers of Christ. That is, in the steps of the humiliation and also the exaltation of Christ, that there is also an experience of the disciples. When we think of the birth, boys and girls, of the Lord Jesus, then we know that the church had also an experience concerning that birth. That is, we read that the shepherds, for example, they have rejoiced. We know that there was an experience also in the life of Simeon and in the life of Anna. There was joy at the revelation of that child. When we think about the sufferings of Christ and the disciples and what the disciples have experienced in those sufferings, then those experiences, they were also unique. That is, following Christ in his suffering, and we can in a human way understand a little of what the disciples, they have experienced in his death after their expectation of receiving that earthly kingdom, and in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, when their expectation was that he would lie in the grave. And something of the experience of those disciples when they are standing, we have heard it, when the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. There are steps also in the experience of God's children today. What is the very first step? I think our boys and girls will be able to tell us that the very first step is regeneration. That is right. Because the Lord has said that ye must be born again. And then there is indeed certainly an experience of the heart, an experience of the life when a man is born again. That cannot be otherwise. We have, in the months that are lying behind us, also considered what it means in the life of God's children to experience the birth of Christ. That is, when that child, we say, that is born in the heart, that is when the expectation from that law, from that old covenant, that is coming more and more and finally coming completely to its end, and when the Spirit of the Lord that is revealing that blessed child in the heart of that sinner, so that there is a joy that is experienced at the revelation of that Savior, But that is now not the end of the way for God's children, because we have heard, then we have also considered the sufferings of Christ. And when we have come also to Good Friday, that there is an experience of that church that is connected to Good Friday, wherein a man has to do with that justice of God, even as Christ. And then he had in that hour to completely fulfill that justice. So that a man, he is experiencing in his life what it means to go lost. And that he is experiencing in his life what that means to agree with that justice of God. That he should be cast away forever and forever. When the Lord will give us to know this, then it is never long before that man, that woman, to come to know what Easter means. Because we cannot lay long in that place of that justice. But now the Lord, he will open in the life, in the heart of his children, what it means that Christ, he has risen from the dead. And that that price that is so completely paid, and that that judge that is so satisfied. Thus, there is in the heart, in the life of that people, a knowledge, an experience that is going along with that step of the resurrection of Christ, that is justification. We have come further because we have heard 10 days ago how that the Lord Jesus, he has ascended into heaven. And then we have heard how that ascension that had not so much to do with the judge, but that ascension that had to do with his Father, that he was returning unto his Father. And so that is also in the experience of God's church, that it is one thing to receive the right by the satisfaction of justice through the law, and that it is another thing to be received once again into the bosom of the Father, to be received into that Father heart. Congregation, how great are the blessings that are now laid away for that church of God. And then we may say, what is it more that could now be experienced by a person here below yet in this life? And yet, today it is Pentecost. Pentecost and children. Then you have heard something also in this morning of what Pentecost means. And Pentecost, that has everything to do with what? That is not in the first place God as judge, and not with God as Father, but that has to do with the Holy Spirit. That has to do with the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And we heard last week about the promise. That was a promise of power. And we heard a little in this morning how that the Lord has fulfilled that promise, and that he has come in that way of power. And so we have seen something of the signs and the signs of that power, that rushing mighty wind, and that fire, those cloven tongues, and that the Lord is breaking down all of those barriers and that are standing in the way of the salvation of his people. Thus, there are the evidences, and that people, and then they are experiencing something of that power. And then we read a question. Then we read, there are those, they are saying, what meaneth this? What meaneth this? What does all this mean? And we heard that some they have mocked. But now Peter, he explains. He explains the meaning of it. And we have heard something of that meaning. But now the Apostle Paul, when he speaks to the Ephesians, and then he goes further to explain something of that meaning of that day of Pentecost, in whom also, he says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise. What is that? You say that is because that Spirit was promised. And that is true. We heard that. Peter, he says that that Spirit was often promised. Then we can read, he is speaking about it, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and so on. And so Peter says that it is that it was promised, and Paul is calling him the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of promise. We heard also that Christ, he has confirmed that promise to the disciples. And then he has spoken of the coming of that Comforter, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After that ye believed. How is that? After that ye had believed. Is not the Spirit of the Lord coming before that a man believes? Is not the Spirit of the Lord the cause that a man believes? What is then the order of salvation? Is faith coming before regeneration? You say no. Thus, that Holy Spirit of the Lord that is working in the heart of a person's faith. Thus, that faith that is following after. But here we read, after that ye believed. The work of the Holy Spirit as the third person in the Trinity, that is the first work that is experienced in the life of a person that is in his dead state without his conscious knowledge, that Spirit that is beginning to move him at times, as we read of Samson. Thus, that is the first work to be experienced. However, It is the person of that Holy Spirit, which is the last of all the three persons of that Holy Trinity to be known. That is actually the end, that is actually the purpose of the redemption of Christ. Paul, he says it to the Galatians, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Thus, he says that the receiving of that promise of the Spirit, that is the end. That is the very purpose of the redemption of the church from that curse of the law. Thus, that is the great gift. The great gift that is for that church, for which reason Christ has given himself unto his church. That gift is the indwelling of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. That is, that God may dwell with man. That there is a union. Thus, Paul describes that indwelling of the Spirit as the end. Pentecost, therefore, that is the culmination. That is the culmination of the work of the Father and of the Son. When Adam fell, then he fell from God. Then Adam fell from a triune God. And the purpose of Christ, that is to bring that soul, that church, back unto that triune God. There is a difference between the work of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. We read here that ye were sealed with. It does not say by the Holy Spirit of promise, but it says that ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We know that that sealing was also by the Holy Spirit of promise, but Paul, he's saying more than that. He says that ye are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And yet, when the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples, then he said that when that Comforter would come, that he would not speak of himself. He says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he shall not speak of himself, but he shall glorify me. Thus, that Spirit that is not pointing, that is not magnifying himself as the third person of that Trinity, but he is working within that church to magnify Christ. And then, in that way, that person, when he is coming to dwell in that church, when he is not bringing, we would say, that attention to himself as that person, but he is bringing the attention of that church unto Christ, and then the presence of that person, that Holy Spirit, can only be known by the work, by the effects, by the fruits that are brought forth in the soul of that person. Thus the Apostle Peter. Then we have heard his sermon in this morning. Then he is attributing, he says, this is the coming of the Holy Spirit. He is attributing the signs. He is attributing the power to the Holy Spirit. But in that sermon, then he is magnifying the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he is speaking about that Jesus of Nazareth, which they had crucified, and in whom they may now receive the forgiveness of their sin. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After that ye believed. Thus, the Apostle Paul is not speaking here about regeneration. The work of the Spirit in regeneration. The Apostle Paul is even not speaking here about the upholding work of the Spirit in a general way. The Apostle is not speaking here even of the giving of a promise in the life of God's children. But the Apostle is speaking about something else. He is speaking about the sealing work of the Holy Spirit, we read, after that ye believed. Thus, a seal. What is a seal? Sacraments, they are signs, but the sacraments, they are also seals. That's what is a seal. There are actually three aspects that we may consider in a seal. Mordecai. Children, you know Mordecai. Mordecai was given a ring. Whose ring was that? You say that was the ring of the king. And Mordecai had to write letters. And he wrote those letters in the king's name. And then we read that he sealed them with the king's ring. That is, that there was some kind of an imprint and that was put on those letters. Why did he do that? Why the seal? Why did he not just write a letter? But he also put a seal on it. Well, you say, that seal that has a purpose. That seal that has a meaning. And what is that? Well, that has to do with authority. That is an authentication of that letter. Because somebody could write a letter himself and make believe that was from the king. But there is no one that has that ring. And so when that people, they will see that seal, then they will know for sure that that letter that is coming from that king. It is authentic. We read in God's word, John, he writes, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. And Paul writes, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. What now does that have to do with? The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. Actually, it has to do with the sonship. 10 days ago, we heard about sonship because we heard about the Father. So that relation between the Father and the Son. And when Paul says that that Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit, then it has to do with being the Son, the child of God. Christ has brought back his church, we heard, into that bosom of his Father. Not as a servant, but he has brought that church back as the sons of God into that Father heart. But after Pentecost, after the ascension, is Pentecost. And at Pentecost, then Paul says the benefits for that church are sealed unto them. Listen to what Paul says. He says, ye have received the spirit of adoption. And we heard of that adoption because Christ, he is the only begotten Son, but the children brought back unto him, they are the adopted children. And now Paul says, ye have received the spirit of adoption. Not only the adoption itself, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Thus, Paul says that there is in that sealing of the Spirit an authentication in the heart. There is a confirmation of the genuineness of it, of the truth of it. That is the assurance of reconciliation. That is the assurance of that sonship. That is the first part of that seal, what that means. You will remember that, children? Like that ring from Mordecai, of the king on Mordecai. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That seal. What is that seal? Another aspect to that seal is that that seal is a mark. And we maybe can say that the easiest also for the children, when we speak about branding, maybe you have seen that. When the farmer, he will brand his cattle, then he will put his own mark on that animal. And that mark that is there in a permanent way, that is there so that it cannot be removed. That is now an indication unto others of what? That cattle that belongs unto that farmer. Let us read what the Lord says in Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Thus, the Lord says, you will hurt no one until I have put my mark on my own children, because they are mine. We read of Elijah that he saw round about him the chariots of fire and horses. When that enemy was coming to surround him to take him, that there was no one that was able to touch that servant of the Lord. We read of Paul. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or powers, or things present, or things to come, or height, or depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom also after that ye were believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We have that authentication. We have in the second place that sealing that is a mark. There is now a third thing that is closely connected to this, but a seal that is sometimes used to render something secure. Thus, if we go to the book of Revelation again, then we can see there a book. And that book that was sealed, we read, with seven seals. That is, that book that was secured. And no one was able to break those seals. No one was able to open that book to see what was inside that book. And now Paul says also to the Galatians, he speaks about being sealed, he says, unto the day of redemption. That is a church that is secured. Secured by God unto that day of redemption. Thus, that sealing that is rendering that church safe. That sealing that is rendering that church so secure that salvation of that people that can never, never be lost, that is lying in the hands of the Almighty God. And when he will speak, there is no one that is able to open that book. No, there is no one that is able to touch that church of God, which is as the apple of his eye. Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. We can read of Job, that he was not a stranger also of that sealing work. He says, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet he says, in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see, and not another. And mine eyes shall behold him. What does David say? He says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Or then he will seal it unto them. Can there be a greater comfort in this world to anyone upon the face of the earth than to receive such a blessing? Because if that Holy Spirit is that seal, And he is sealing unto that church that work of the Father and that work of the Son. And then that people, they have everything. Those disciples, they do not receive only understanding on the day of Pentecost. No, those disciples, they receive also an assurance. They receive also a great confidence, a confidence that is to be desired by each and every one of us, and especially for the church of God. Let us sing Psalter 71. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? While God my strength, my life sustains, secure from fear, my soul remains. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 71. our second thought, the manner of that sealing, and where do we find it? In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. It is understandable that you ask, how is a person sealed? How does a person receive certainty? How do God's children receive that blessed assurance? And the answer to that question is lying in the 14th verse. That indwelling of that Holy Spirit is a seal because that Spirit of the Lord is an earnest. What now is that? An earnest. Well, an earnest would be the same as in our days a pledge or what we call a down payment. A down payment that is something that shows that we are in earnest. Therefore, it is called an earnest. And a down payment that is always part of the final payment. When is a down payment given? A down payment is given when we are not going to receive the substance immediately, therefore we are not paying for everything immediately, but we have to wait for that final possession. And then we are saying with that down payment, I am coming again. And then I will certainly give you the rest. Children, you say, well, why the down payment? Why does he not just give a promise? Just tell him that he is coming again and that he will come and purchase it. Well, you say, no, that down payment, that is more than a promise. A promise is one thing, but a down payment is something else. It is more than that promise. Because when there is a down payment, then something already is given. And that other party that now has an interest, it has a stake in it. So for us, then that other party now has something to lose if they do not come back. And that receiver, because the other party has a stake in it, that receiver has a much greater assurance than that he would have if he had only received a promise. Thus, there is an assurance because of that pledge. It is sealing it. It is rendering it to be certain. It is giving a comfort. It is giving a rest so that that person is waiting for the final fulfillment, for the final purchase, and he believes and he's sure that he is coming again because he has already paid part of it to me. Paul says to the Corinthians, now he which establisheth us, who makes us established, who establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. What is it for the church after the ascension of Christ? What were now the steps, the next steps that had to take place? Then there had to be the sitting at the right hand of God that could not be seen, only experienced in the gifts. But then he was going to come again. But he was not coming immediately. Of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, the Lord says. So that church is waiting. And that church has now been waiting 2,000 years. How many years did they wait for the fulfillment of the first promise, boys and girls? The coming of the Lord Jesus. How many years? 4,000 years. Did he come? Yes. Long time, but he came. Is he coming again? Yes. It has been a long time. But he is coming again. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Thus, our text that speaks about an inheritance. To whom goes an inheritance? That is to the children. Do you understand it? Do you see the connection now to the ascension? Do you see the connection now to the Father? When the apostle, he is now speaking about an inheritance. And now Pentecost, that is the sealing of it. That inheritance that is received, we read in God's word, at the death of the testator. And Paul, he says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him. What is the blessing? What is the inheritance? Oh, that shall be the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit in glory to unite that church of God with the Father and with the Son. He says that we may be also glorified together. That shall be that eternal, that blessed communion. And when that church will be brought into that presence and intimate union and fellowship with God Himself. But now in that sealing, what do they receive? They receive the beginning of it. They receive part of that inheritance already. That is in the indwelling of that Holy Spirit. That is in the first place a foretaste. a foretaste of what it shall be for that people in glory. But it is more than a foretaste, because God's word says it is also a pledge. It is a pledge in that time of waiting to render that people secure, to give them comfort, to seal it unto them until at that time, that full redemption. Thus, they receive the first part already. Even as the first fruits were received from the Lord, and because of those first fruits are received, then they may believe they are going to receive the rest of that harvest. And now when the Lord is granting unto that church that indwelling, that sealing of His Holy Spirit, then the Lord says, I am also coming, that I will give you also the rest of it. Therefore, it is called the Spirit of Promise, not only because it was promised, but because it is the assurance of that promise of the Lord. Not only is He the promiser, but is He Himself, we read, the Spirit of Promise. How? He is the earnest. He is the earnest. He is the pledge. He is that down payment. And then it is especially in that receiving of that Spirit that those people, they are seeking those things that are above and not those things that are on the earth. Then they are looking forward, and then they are looking above, and then they are looking for more than that they can receive here below. Oh, we read the Lord, He brought Moses to that top of Pisgah. And then Moses may look and he may see all that land of Canaan. Or he may see a little, or he may have views of that promised land. And so that people that may receive something of that sealing of the Spirit of the Lord, or then they may have views by moments even to go inside of that gate of heaven. Or that they may see something of the beginnings of that eternal glory. Or then their heart that may be ravished with His love. Or to draw their hearts unto themselves that they say, away world. Away sin, away vanity, away carnality. Oh, my heart that is inditing a good matter, I speak of the things as touching the King. Oh, then they are waiting, then they are longing, they are looking for that promised inheritance. Oh, they are looking for that substance. They are looking for that substance that ever endures. Solomon calls them durable riches. Until the time of that purchased, until the redemption of that purchased possession. And that is not only until in time, but also concerning the redemption of that purchased possession. O congregation, how great is that goodness kept in store for all who love Him and adore in meek humility. Oh, the blessings that the Lord has in store for His church, they are not all reserved for glory. Do you know what the Lord is doing? The Lord is sometimes giving something of that inheritance here already to His children here below. That they may taste something of it, yes. But not only taste something of it, but that by the pouring out of that Spirit that they may be given to believe that the Lord will one day take them unto Himself in glory. Oh, how little is it experienced in our day. We can read how in the church of old, that these things, they were experienced more. Why? Oh, And must we not say, God, children of the Lord, that there is so much world. Oh, that we are so tied to the things that are here below. Satan's devices, they are many, but our hearts, oh, they are cleaving so much to those things which are perishing. Oh, how little then is that church emptied from a vessel unto vessel. Oh, how we long, a congregation, even to hear sometimes that first step may be experienced in our midst. Oh, that a man may be regenerated, that a man may be born again, that he may say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And because he has been pricked in his heart. Oh, we long to hear that. And why? Do you know what Paul says to the Corinthians? He says, you are the seal of my apostleship. You are the seal. You are the confirmation that I have been made an apostle by the Lord. Because of that work that the Lord has done among you. Thus, when there may be true conversions, then it is as a seal upon the work of that ministry. But congregation, then sometimes we may hear of those that may speak even of what that means. To have experienced Christmas in their heart. And that is a great thing. That is a wonderful thing. And that is giving direction unto God's children. But where may we now hear that the Lord is leading that people further? That he is giving them to experience Good Friday and Easter, or something of that ascended King, or even yet of that day of Pentecost and the sealing work of that Holy Spirit of the Lord. Are we not so poor? Oh, we are so poor, and yet the Lord is the same, and the Lord is so free. Oh, then it is not the highest steps that are most important, no. But that we may be converted unto the Lord. Because that has not to do with our comfort. That has to do with our safety. But is there now a people of the Lord who are longing? Because there is a little bit of heaven to be experienced here upon the earth. And then the apostle, he says, to make your calling and election sure. Because so an entrance, he says, shall be administered unto you abundantly into the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. O God, give the work. The Pentecostal work of his Holy Spirit richly among us. And that is now going to bring the fruits from the very beginning unto the very end. Oh, the Lord, give us prayer and supplication for these blessings that we cannot miss. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth. Thou speakest of it in thy word, but we are so ignorant of it even to bring it forth in a few stammering words. But wilt thou bless thy own word, and wilt thou give us to know also the substance thereof? Wilt thou forgive what was amiss in speaking and in listening? And wilt thou grant thy blessing for the souls of young and old, while it is still called today, and that a holy jealousy may be born in all, that we may be given to be led upon those ways wherein thou instructest thy people, and wherein thou leadest them unto thyself, and where thou givest them to behold even something of thy glory, and wherein thou workest the exercise of that faith that thou hast planted, which is so to thy honor here below. Wilt thou give thy people more and more to walk in this world in a separate way, and keep us in this week from all accident, danger, evil, and sin? And wilt thou cause thy word to receive a place within for Jesus' sake? Amen. 415:2-7. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided clearly I thy paths may see. 2:7 of 415. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.